So, as I said in, I don't remember if you were back by the time I was talking about that, but there's a, in development work, there's been a lot of emphasis on participatory methods and participatory learning. And John Robert will give us an example of this sort of participatory learning, which I think is something that would be very important for us in Google to take strong cognizance of. That it isn't just giving information, but involving people in finding their own, making their own discoveries in an atmosphere that's concentrated on that and consecrated to that.
So first I'd like to say what I'm doing here, because I'm not a sociologist and I'm not knowledgeable about the villages. I took Bhavana's class, Auroville, the Villages and Human Unity, last winter. And, you know, we would go to the villages and have people come and talk, and Bhavana would give us of her, you know, tremendous store of knowledge about it. And at the end of it, I would say, but what about human unity? And so we would talk about that, and, you know, she'd say, well, what do you suggest? And, you know, we'd toss the ideas back and forth, and she'd say, well, why don't you try something like that? And so when she was, you know, her presentation became part of this, we worked on it kind of together. And I'm still interested in the human unity part, which is maybe not so much sociological. It's more individual. At least that's the part of it that I'm interested in. And so I would like us to move away. Let's say that we've been thinking about these ideas that Bhavana has presented, some of her experience reflected in some of your experience with the villages, some of the ideas of spiral dynamics and so on, and we've been focusing on that. And in the discussion, we've been focusing on these ideas. And what I'd like to do is start to separate out the ideas and the focusing, so that we've been using our conceptual mind, our conceiving mind, to try to widen it. Bhavana said she wanted to go from black and white to, you know, something wider. And if we want to go towards human unity, we won't get there with the conceiving mind, with the surface mind. So let's begin to use the power of focus and see if we can approach some of the things that we were talking about last week. When we talked about what do we want Yuhu to be, people were saying, well, they'd like to be the change in consciousness, or they'd like to have this universal consciousness. And I have this image that we're, each one of us is a tent, has an individual tent on the plane of the universe, on the plane of universality. It's all around us, it's within us, it's above us. And could we then, by moving a little bit away from our comfort in thinking, in the thinking mind, towards the observing consciousness, could we begin to approach that, and how far could we get? So that's what I'd like to do with you. And to start off with, I want to give some suggestions. Number one, that people could approach this with a beginner's mind. We're going to do a process, so you could approach it with a beginner's mind. You may know a lot about this already. You know, I don't know. And the knowledge that you have, if you could set that aside and just see what you experience. So, beginner's mind is the first suggestion. Second suggestion is to, I've already suggested this, we're going to move into observation. We're still going to use thoughts, we're still going to use concepts, we're going to use the rational mind to note things. Oh, you're observing something, you note it. And then there's the wonderful, familiar temptation to think about it. And to set that aside, and then go back just to the observing. So that's the second suggestion. And the third suggestion is, if any of this territory is unfamiliar to you, it may be vague. It may seem vague or dim or hard to get to. And if that's true, it may not be also. But if that's true, that you persevere with it, that you don't give up, that you stay with it, that if it's vague, you still follow the vagueness into that space. Because Sri Aurobindo says that we're cut off in our individualizing consciousness, we're cut off with veils, a veil between us and our inner being, and a veil between us and the rest of the world. So when we start to move into some of those places, it may seem vague. It's okay. Just follow it as best you can. So what I'd like to have you do is get a partner. Somebody sitting next to you, just right now, arrange, or shall we do numbers? I'd like numbers. I'd like to have you have a partner so that we'll do a little work and then you can talk about it with your partner. So, who doesn't have a partner? Who? You're the only one without a partner? Okay, the three of you then? Okay. So the first thing I'd like to have you do is close your eyes.
Should we face each other?
No, I'll give instructions. What you're doing right now is by yourself. Okay. But now you have your partner, so you know who to go to when I say. Close your eyes and go back to the conversation we were having just a minute ago. The questions, bhavana's talk. And think about the questions, think about the talk. But while you're thinking about it, observe what your thinking is like. What are you doing when you're thinking about it? Are you remembering? Are you conceptualizing? Or do attitudes, do associations? What's happening as you're thinking about that? Something, note it. Just a single word or something like that, just note it, like you might do in a meditation. And then go back to thinking about it and observing the thinking. Now, I would like to have you change the object of your thinking. I'd like to have you think about your left thumb.
What?
Your left thumb. Thumb of your left hand. Just think about it. And then switch over and observe it without thinking about it. Be the observer. Observe it from inside with your eyes closed. And then observe it with your eyes, with your vision. And really go into the observation, only noting with the thinking mind, otherwise letting the thinking mind go aside and making a detailed observation of your left thumb. Now would you stop and turn toward your partner and just take a few seconds to reflect on and tell your partner what you observed when you were observing your thinking, when you were thinking about your thumb, and when you were just observing your thumb. Okay, please finish up. Take another 15 seconds to finish up. Okay, discussion time's over. Please turn back, turn your chairs back. Okay, now, so moving a little more into focusing, into this focusing consciousness that we have, I'd like to have you become aware of your left palm, the palm of your hand, the palm of your left hand. Just become aware of it. Focus your awareness there. Observe what you observe there. really bring your consciousness, bring this focusing power, this observing power that you have, to the palm of your left hand. And note with your conceiving mind what you notice, what qualities you notice. And then don't think about it, just go back to observing what else you notice there. And now become aware of your right foot. And take the focus of your awareness, the same way you had it in the left palm, take it to your right foot, the sole of your right foot, and bring your consciousness there. Bring your observing consciousness there. Notice what you note. Note what you notice. Really focus on that, the sole of that foot. And next, move the focus of your awareness to your hearing. With your eyes closed, let the palm of your hand and the sole of your foot fade away and really become aware of the sounds that you can hear. And next, I'd like to have you open your eyes and pick an object some distance away from you in the room and focus this observing consciousness that you have on that object. Really study that object with your eyes. Really, really focus on that object. Almost as if you could make that the sole thing that's in the focus of your awareness. And again, note what you observe about it, but don't think about it, just go back to the observation as in a meditation. Gather all the threads of your awareness and put them into your sight of that object. And now, still looking at the object, never looking away from the object, continuing to look at that object, I'd like for you to unsquint your eyes. You know, squinting means when you're when it's bright outside and you have your eyes kind of closed and your face tight. So there's something that, of unsquinting, which is a relaxation of the eyes and the eye muscles. So you're still looking at that same object, but you're unsquinting. There's some subtle muscles that you can open and relax. And begin to bring your awareness, which was out there on that object, begin to bring it back towards you. So it's like some part of you was out there, out in front, looking at that object, touching it almost with your sight. And now begin to bring that something of you that was out there, bring it back towards your eyes, bring it back towards you. So maybe you could bring it halfway back between that object and you. And then move it back to the object so that your focus again becomes more and more exclusively on that object. And then begin to move it back towards you, still looking at the same object, but the focus of your awareness is coming back towards you. It's like you're going from a telephoto lens to a wide-angle lens. Bring it back as far as you can. Bring it all the way back to yourself, to your body. Bring it back inside your body, inside your eyes. And notice while you're still looking at that object, but you're looking at it from way back inside of you, if your vision has changed, if what you're seeing, what you're aware of in your vision has changed. You can try that moving back out and moving back in, see if there's a difference. Slowly come out of this focused state that you're in. Slowly come back to your normal awareness. Exchange information with your partner about what you observed so far.
I'm going to focus on the object.
Take another few seconds to finish your conversation if you need it. Okay, let's go back. So turn your chairs back if you need to, so you're facing the circle. I'd like to have you once again using your focusing, observing awareness, focused on the same object that you were looking at before. Take your awareness out to it, touch it with your sight, so that something of you is out there in front. And then once again, begin to bring it back. You're still looking at the object. You don't stop looking at that during this whole process here, but you're bringing that something back. There's something that's going out and back, and bringing it back towards you. There's a seeing that's happening. It's an action of seeing that's happening. And as you bring that something of you back, can you experience that as the seeing? Now I'd like you to become aware that in this room there is a seeing going on. Seeing is happening in this room. If you close your eyes, you stop your participation in the seeing, but it still goes on. You open your eyes, you give your instrumentation to this seeing that's happening. It's a seeing, or maybe it's the seeing. And yes, there's my seeing, but can you experience it as a seeing that's happening, a single seeing that's happening in this room right now? can you experience the seeing going out from you towards the object? An apprehending seeing going out to grasp with vision the object that you're looking at. Like an energy coming out through you to that object. An active apprehending seeing. Stream of sight pouring out towards it. Can you experience the seeing as a receptivity? As if the stream is going in the other direction, the light beams. The sense that you have of the seeing, not the idea of the scientific idea, just your own experience of the seeing, can you experience that it's coming into you so that there's really nothing separating you? It just comes in freely. And there's something that's seeing. There's a something that's seeing and that's enacting the seeing. If you go all the way back in, as far back as you can go, and you experience something. That's the seer, the watcher. Is it you, your eyes, or your ordinary consciousness? Or does it have some other quality? Now slowly and gently come back out of this kind of meditative state, back to your conversational state. You can bring some of this quality back with you if you want. And exchange notes and observations with your partner.
Thank you.
Take another few seconds to finish your discussion in the group. Okay, would you turn back to the circle, please? So, it's getting very close to 6 o'clock. Is there anybody who would like to share anything from what you experienced in that exercise?
Was it an aspect for you to do this?
Pardon?
An aspect of it for you to guide us through this. Mm-hmm. Was it for us to experience a kind of this seeing as a group seeing, a collective seeing, kind of, because I felt that, no, again, like seeing was a kind of the personal energy or
yeah, that's one of the possible outcomes that I hope some people might notice. Basically, I wanted to try to help us move from the individual to the universal, which we talked about last time, and maybe just get to the edge of it or have a glimpse of it or something.
I think that worked, because I arrived finally at the point that I even couldn't follow your instructions. You go out and you go in, because inside and outside were so much connected, there was no difference. And I started to see objects under the table, not only on the table, I started to see everybody in the room without moving my sight. And then I felt I even could see much further than this room. And I had the feeling of a real strong connection between all of us. Mm. And the whole things also, not only the persons. So I did not know what to do. Is this going forward and backward? It was. What to do then? Now in the reflection with Vakan, I thought that is something we could might try to practice more often together in Auroville, to help to create this universal consciousness, to connect to each other and to the issue with which we are working now.
Mm. Maybe after 10 days Vipassana course, then
it works also like that. It works also like that.
What was interesting that the shift of seeing is not really possible. Rather, seeing itself is not. You say move out. Yes? I thought that we couldn't move out. It's actually seeing is perceptive faculty. It's not active in a sense that you can move it. What is happening when you perceive object more and more, you become actively more perceptive, so to say, but you don't really move it out. What is moving out is something else, not seeing. Mm. And that is rather a shift of consciousness or something. Now, when you were speaking about air seeing together, there was a shift in consciousness, not in seeing. There was a kind of widening, broadening of something which was using seeing as a faculty of itself, but it wasn't a seeing. Seeing remained as it was there, perceptive. Either it is, when shifts were made that you have to inbring, it works. Because inbringing is, in some ways, perceptive. Then there's observer shifts behind, beyond. Stays and observes one image in the head and one image outside. They are as if superimposed, but the image in the head is bigger than outside somehow. They have two realities within you, and there is somebody watching them through. That is possible to inbring, but to outbring seeing, I couldn't manage. And I felt something is moving out, but it is not seeing. And then this location of consciousness, if it is possible, and it is possible, you can locate it in any faculty of itself anywhere, from broaden it or narrow it. Similar will be done with hearing, I guess.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. There's so many ways to do it.
I'm grateful for the exercise in the context of sociology. First, I was not sure because you talked about the human unity. That's what your interest is. But I think it touches upon that what Bhavana said, how we can find solutions, you know, to specific challenges and topics. If we are in a different scene, in a different perception, in a different state of consciousness, then it seems so only out of that, really, solutions can be received.
Kirti mentioned when we got together the other night, Aloka and Juan and their work in the school, and I hope somebody convinces them to come into this.
On Friday afternoon after the teacher meeting, I had to bite my tongue not to walk up to them and say, would you be willing to? Because on Friday at the teacher meeting, we had a special meeting instead of the regular kind, and we were doing an overview of the curriculum and trying to upgrade it. And I was asked to make a chart of skills we would be looking for, not just academic, but other. And I said, I'm going to use our UAGU Vedic paradigm because those will lead to skills in different areas. So I drew another of those charts and put the multiple intelligences and the knowledge structures and the skills And I had it very nicely done, and I pasted it up, and everybody was like, that sounds interesting. And then I said, okay, this is really what it is. We have been discussing it as the European community, and it does lead to skills in many different areas, not just the academic. And this is what integral education should incorporate. And so everybody was stunned and quiet and everything. And later people came up and said, that's a very interesting way of looking at things, and it does lead us to new ways of perceiving education and how what we are doing and how we're doing. And Joanne was there also. So at the end of the meeting, I thought, I'll just walk up to him and say, would you be willing to do a presentation? Because at the bottom, where there was unknown, and then there were all of these intelligences that go with it, plus knowledge structures and skills, I had put body awareness in the material thing. And so I said various people have been presenting on the various approaches to knowledge, and I stopped there, I did not go very far into it, but I would be willing to ask him something.
Actually, I wanted to say that Hans is here, really doing body awareness for quite some time, mm-hmm. in somatic exercise, so it's all his life dedicated to this consciousness of the body. So I invited him especially in that regard to be part of our. It would be nice if, of course, Joan would his body awareness views.
Yeah, because Joan also had his whole curriculum nearly well developed from level to level, and he's got the set of skills that he is shooting for at each grade level. And he has done a very comprehensive thing, because it was so hard for so many years. But it would be interesting for him to see.
So what's the outlook for next week? I wanted to make actually a proposal. I thought, I don't know how it is for people, but I thought it would be very beautiful and powerful possibly to come together on Saturday, on the city day, and consecrate our work. And because we meet today because there was darshan yesterday, and I thought it could be very maybe a potent gesture to come together on this special day. But I don't know what's on the program. Mm-hmm.
And I thought Bhavana would do the most, we were discussing this, I'm sure you remember, about 12 qualities of the mother, an approach to psychic, let's say, education and self-studies, which will start with these 12 qualities and their studies, which could be a very good preamble to psychic education of Nietzsche. I thought if they could go together, and he said we would do it with happiness because we have this study camp.
Yeah, but they just re-emerged from our files, that original research.
Yeah.
And then we
maybe
thought
Aurelio will help.
Are we doing it in the
morning? Actually his.
I hope so. I probably would prefer in the
morning.
Because I think we are more fresh energy.
Yeah.
Than we are here.
I have something else that I'm doing on Sunday morning.
Oh. Is it about Sunday?
Saturday? I'm happy. That's I have every Saturday morning.
There was a request not to do it on darshan by other people, but.
Well, and especially Nietzsche, and she's presenting
Right. I don't think she will come.
I think it's only one more Sunday that you have just going back to the normal program.
Yeah.
So why don't you just speak to that?
Is it fun that it's
good time to stay away?
Could you manage?
Very important.
Ah. Or split your morning into two halves?
No, actually from 9 to 12 I'm in a meditative body awareness class, which is very important to me. I don't want to.
And if you present it on the next Saturday, the Saturday after, then what do you present?
Then we have to change something to fit in it. I do not know how to do it.
Maybe
you do it afternoon, or you there is a suggestion not to do afternoon.
Yeah.
Then
so we could skip 1 week just entirely. And
am I the only one that doesn't want to come on Sunday morning?
Bhavana, let's not, if everybody's feeling like we're trying to push it in, let's not. flow with it and say skip one and come back with the flowing second.
No,
well,
no, I don't
think
we should skip.
There's
an objection, though, and that is that we planned to meet on that day at Nils's request some weeks back.
Yeah, some months.
Yeah.
On that Sunday.
Okay.
And she's
think,
going out or something, so
yeah,
it has
I think she's probably prepared
okay. Yeah.
To do it next Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
And I would say we made an agreement in advance to stick to that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to change it at the last moment.
Yeah.
But what we hadn't decided definitively at that time was morning or afternoon.
Yeah.
So we could meet in the morning, if only Bob and I can't make it. And we could decide that that's a possibility, or we could decide that that's not a possibility.
Did anyone talk to Nielche about
Well, she said, no, we didn't talk about morning or afternoon, but she is going to come to present, you know.
There is one more point which I want to add to this. On 25th, there will be 1 year anniversary of our meeting.
This is Sunday.
Oh.
Okay.
And on Sunday.
Yeah.
So we should
be. As I felt, we could, in a way.
You want to add, it would be nice if everybody would make just observation of this kind, that what we came on 25th last year and what happened to us now. It would be nice to have that reflection. And
I actually would like to come back to the first text I read when we were sitting here and just feel, you know, what the beginning of what world was and where we are already.
Mm.
It's miraculous where we are today. And I feel like take a moment to feel that, to consider that. And maybe in case Bhavana is not going to talk, we can pick up what we did last Saturday, you know, to come back to this, what we expect of the university to be. Because what I'm going to talk about is my first talk, my first speeches, is actually about the idea of the university itself. Maybe from there we can collect our what we did last time, and then go on with Nitya, and that would be wonderful, because she's going to bring us to a wonderful level of consideration.
Or maybe we start with her presentation and then
mm-hmm.
see how we integrate that approach
yes.
into the Ubu vision.
I don't, well, personally, I would prefer actually, because my kind of talk is something to begin with, you know, not that, you know, because it's not, it doesn't fit in, I think, after, because it's primitive in the sense of the beginning stuff. And Nitya will take us then from there right to the goal.
And her topic is education.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically we're moving into a new cycle of presentations and discussions that your idea actually blends nicely with, because we do need to move in the direction of synthesizing and projecting the future activities.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time that we're internalizing more, we need to begin to evolve a new structure of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe those are two good things to combine on that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really would like, in a way, to come back to this first almost naive beginning had, you know, just how can we do, what is university, what is meant to be, what do we what is the this page we want to be set. That's something very pleasant, I think.
Yeah, it's a great idea to to develop these structures which are already developing by themselves, which are becoming kind of directions of research, study, maybe teams and topics they gather in this section. So to come back to our beginning and to reflect into the future is maybe a good time. Yes, it's about time.
Mm.
morning or afternoon.
That is up to you.
I think we should do it in the afternoon, not just because I can't make it in the morning, but also because we're more relaxed. We're not rushing off to lunch the way we are in the morning.
First the celebration in the afternoon. First the celebration in the afternoon, so we need to...
And then the next week we go back to Saturday morning, fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to share maybe in the minute of silence before, as an introduction, just a few days ago, because we had this presentation on sociology, I came across this passage where the mother said how much she liked the sociology of the Superman, and I just saw the book lying here. I just read two sentences from that.
What comes to my mind is, may I ask you, maybe for next time in the beginning, maybe to come with some sort of the kind of your music
quote.
And just to give us, we last year we started with Joy chanting Ananda Maya, and it was wonderful. And actually put us right there. And maybe something you'd like to do.
But these builders of the new world will take great care not to build a new prison, be it an ideal or quite enlightened one. In fact, they will soon understand that this city of truth will not be and cannot be as long as they are not themselves in the truth, totally so, and that this land to be built is first and foremost the ground of their own transmutation. And perhaps the whole earth would find itself changed, for there is but one body. For this one's difficulty is the difficulty of the world, that others' resistance and obscurity are the resistance and obscurity of the whole world, and that tiny enterprise of a little city under the stars is perhaps the very enterprise of the world, the symbol of its transmutation. The possibility of a new earth through the mere transfiguration of one patch of land and one patch of man.